is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 43. Who Got Away? Zhang Qinghua could almost say that he thinks these forbidden dungeons would be less creepy if they had more of an abandoned caves look. Obviously, he's totally good with this flight of stairs that he's being carried down, not covered in scattered human bones right now, because that would be super shitty. No human bones is a good thing. But, he thinks, at least then I'd have a better idea of what to expect next, bro. At least then I wouldn't have to keep waiting for the catch. The dark hallway at the bottom of the staircase is basically identical to the one above. It's nice. It's well kept. It's empty, except for the lanterns that light up as they pass. But there's good craftsmanship on the carved walls and smooth floors here, and clearly someone sweeps this forbidden section of the Huanhua Palace Sect dungeons. It's kind of cold down here, but that's really only to be expected, as they go deeper and deeper underground like this. It puts him in mind of a temple, or a tomb. Now that he's thinking about it, this place reminds him of the entrance to the Garden Master's Abyss. All stone and darkness and coldness and emptiness. And the House of Rejuvenation. All long, clean, fancy hallways. At the same time. He was kind of expecting more of a Weeper's Temple look for some reason. Maybe it's because Cucumber Bro is here. Maybe it's because now that Zhang Qinghua has been set down again, his fellow transmigrator is even peering over his shoulder at the map given to them by Yu Chaonan's husband, shamelessly pulling Zhang Qinghua's wrist over slightly for a better view. Like, he's tempted to rip it out of Zhang Qinghua's hands because he's decided that this peak lord of logistics can't possibly be reading it right. Bing He jostling for a view on Zhang Qinghua's other side is new, though Bing He is trying to lean in without messing up Zhang Qinghua's crutch and mostly succeeding, showing off that teenage height of his. But Mo Bei Jun's steady hand at Zhang Qinghua's back here is much appreciated. As Peng Hung Peng said, this dungeon map doesn't really map the forbidden areas. It mostly shows things like the surrounding underground warehouses and other kinds of agricultural storage, and some tunnels between buildings that must really come in handy for the disciples and sect servants when the weather is bad. It shows some underground gardens, too. Zhang Qinghua remembers having a few tours of some of the mushroom and fish farms once upon a time. All the inky tunnels that lead toward the forbidden dungeons trail off into blankness. He knows that the famous Huanhua Palace sect prisons begin with a formidable-looking building above ground, one of their central sect buildings. Seriously, it's a big, scary, looming building that they love showing off to other sect leaders to boast of their unmatched security and contribution to public safety. But the space that should mark the dungeons underneath the building, where there should probably be long rows of cells marked Water Prison or Demon Ceiling Palace, totally blank. But there's information in that blankness to a discerning eye. Everything else being filled in acts as negative space, creating a silhouette of sorts. And Zhang Qinghua can see that the center of the forbidden dungeons falls pretty much directly under the prisons. This central sect building that they're directly under now is a main administrative building that gets a lot of use during conferences. It's on the northern edge of these forbidden dungeons. On the opposite edge, the southern side, if Zhang Qinghua is remembering things correctly, should rest the personal residence of the palace master. Zhang Qinghua points this Assumption out to his nephew, to his fellow transmigrator, and the demon lord leaning over his head. It would make sense for a special storage area to rest around here, Shang Changhua muses. See how the regular storage areas are here on the northwest side? And if they've got any super secret greenhouses, I'd put them here on the northeast side. And anything with beasts on the southeast side, just so people don't have to trek any supplies all the way across the sect from their above-ground counterparts. That shit smells. And any sort of fabrication, like forges, would probably be here, because they'll need ventilation for that, and it'll be easier to hide a secret smokestack with the non-secret ones. Uncle, I think we're looking for the prisons, Bingha interjects. Ah, right. Well, aha, prisoners probably come in from the southwest, because the closest gate to the big flashy prison entrance is the one here, and it's also one of the big and scary-looking ones. That gate is also on the right side for people to come from the city on the other end of the valley, Bingha murmurs. That too, Shang Changhua agrees. Ah, well, the prisons should be roughly in the center here, with a leaning towards the southwest side, I guess. And we are on the wrong fucking side for that. Huanhua Palace sect says I have a criminal for a disciple, so maybe there'll be something to find there? Then there's always the palace master's personal residence. Shang Changhua was kind of expecting Xin Yuan to grumble a little at being called a criminal. But his fellow transmigrator's frown is turned ahead of them. He has his hand over his heart again, where the weeper's eye rests under his robes. Ah, looking ahead? Shang Changhua wonders. Not a bad idea. Xin Yuan doesn't respond, apparently concentrating deeply, and even takes a few steps away from them. Another lantern glows to life in answer. At the end of the dark hallway ahead of them, the path apparently makes a hard right turn. What is it? Bingha asks him. I think there's someone ahead, Xin Yuan murmurs. Coming towards us? Shang Changhua asks. No, they're doing something, reaching up to fix something. Shang Changhua is so glad that his fellow transmigrator stole the Weeper's Eye before Shun fucking Ching Chu kicked down the door to his leisure house in its secret basement, even if it means this nosy brat can essentially see through walls now. It's not like seeing at all, Shen Yuan has insisted. And he's right, but Shang Changhua doesn't think sensing through walls sounds nearly as good. They go down the dark hallway, peering around that hard right turn, which is apparently followed by a shorter hallway, which takes a hard left turn. There's light coming from the left side. The lanterns in this area are already lit, which can be taken as a sign that someone has been moving around here recently. Only one person, Shen Yuan whispers more confidently. Peering around into the light reveals a wide hall full of doors, with signs that aren't legible from this distance, but have the look of storage rooms of some kind. There's an old man alone in this wide hall on the far side, carefully removing a wilted plant from an opened, empty, and now unlit lantern. This bulbous plant has several large, orb-like flowers. Zhang Changhua doesn't actually know if they're technically flowers or not, but he's pretty sure they're called moth-eater night flowers or something like that. Huanhua Palace sect grows them, puts them in these hanging metal lanterns with paper panes, and uses them as a form of renewable, fire-free light, especially in their many gardens, which are obviously all very flammable. Huanhua Palace looks fucking spectacular at night. It's so unfair. Zhang Changhua has never really had the time to contemplate the upkeep, too busy contemplating the upkeep of his own sect. But it makes sense that someone has to go around looking after the lanterns, apparently just swapping out the dead flowers for new ones. Anding Peak has cultivators whose entire job is dealing with lighting and dealing out lighting supplies for all of Changchang Mountain sect. This master lantern keeper has a little cart full of fresh, brightly glowing flowers in pots, extra lanterns and wall hooks, and a bin full of sad-looking flowers that have gone out or gone dim. He's probably one of many who shuffle around this great sect, doing this one job day in, day out. Who else is going to do this job? The palace master? Of course not. Such an important man can't really be expected to sweep the floors or change the light bulbs in his own forbidden dungeons. How outrageous. Shang Cheng Hua sighs. They've run into a maintenance guy. A single master lantern keeper isn't so concerning as far as obstacles go. He's facing their general direction in a brightly lit room while he checks over the wilted plant, sure, so chances are he'll see someone approach before they can reach him. But the takedown of an elderly man isn't by itself an insurmountable problem. But there are other problems becoming readily apparent here. Firstly, Shang Cheng Hua doesn't know what this guy knows, being not too far into the forbidden section of the dungeons, but it could be nothing. Shang Cheng Hua would probably feel bad killing off a random maintenance guy. It's the sort of thing that Luo Jiahui might frown on and might make Duan Tian Yu sad. Bing He would probably feel bad about it too. Maybe not now when he's pissed the fuck off at Huanhua Palace Sect and ready to raise it before his shitty birth father can have the pleasure. But later. Shang Cheng Hua's soft-hearted nephew isn't much of a tyrant after all, huh? And speaking of soft-hearted, how do we get past without killing him? Shen Yuan mutters, not even peering around the corner and not even facing the right direction now. Also, Shang Cheng Hua might be imagining it, but there's a faint hum behind his fellow transmigrator's voice, as Shen Yuan adds, all he does is light the lanterns. The only guilt he carries is that of willful ignorance. Wow, that's kind of creepy. Anyway, knowing so many soft-hearted people is so limiting. Secondly, Master Lantern Keeper is standing next to an alarm. Seriously, the guy is standing right next to it. Right next to it. Right fucking next to it. This is the shittiest coincidence and also so fucking predictable for Shang Cheng Hua's misfortunes that he could shriek at the unoriginality. Shang Cheng Hua knows an alarm system when he sees one. Whether talisman-based or mechanical or a mixed system, though they're more often than not a pain in the ass to install, alarms are a lifesaver when a person's position revolves around warehouses and shit not going up in smoke. That explosion of fire-eating sword-cleaning solution on Wan Jian Peak all those years ago, almost immediately after Shang Cheng Hua met Luo Jiahui and her baby, that kickstarted a chain of events that eventually led to someone at Changchong Mountain Sect going, you know, that widespread fire alarm concept that Shang Cheng Hua keeps mentioning sounds like a great idea. We should really expand our current alarm systems. Shang Cheng Hua, go do that. So, a lot of buildings across Anding Peak have alarms of various kinds now. The high-risk breweries across Zuijian Peak have some. Xi Jiao Peak has always had lots in case their most dangerous beast got loose. And Wan Jian Peak has some in case a forge explodes. And so on. Some set off spiritual bells on the roof of a building. Some send up a flare. Whatever. It really depends on the emergency. But all in all, it's super fucking useful to have a lever that anyone can pull in case things get fucked. No need for a panicking cultivator, or even worse, a fresh-faced baby disciple, to fumble with a flare spell. The alarm next to the Master Lantern Keeper here is probably not a fire alarm. It's an engraved metal disc set into the wall in a stone frame. Very fancy-looking. But it might as well be a big fucking red button labeled Intruder Alert to Shang Cheng Hua's intensely frustrated eyes. It looks like the Master Lantern Keeper just has to slam his hand against it, just bump his damn elbow against it, and they're fucked. There's not a lot of space to teleport in behind the guy, either. kind of makes a man wonder why the fuck they need a button like that, Zhang Changhua mutters, pulling back around the corner. What the fuck do they think might go wrong down here, huh? You can't tell me they actually have workplace safety codes or something in forbidden dungeons. No, this shit is suspicious. We could just wait for him to leave, Xun Yuan suggests, but unenthusiastically. Next to him, one of his hands already twitching with readiness, Bing He wrinkles his nose at the idea of having to be patient. We could knock him out somehow, the young protagonist suggests. Zhang Chenghua glances at Mo Beijun, who raises his eyebrows, presumably totally at peace with murdering the fuck out of any Huanhua Palace sect cultivator. Zhang Chenghua shrugs back. Yeah, if this wasn't his nephew here, he'd probably find the concept of a heavenly demon not totally cool with murdering some human cultivator just for being in the way kind of strange, too. This generation is different like that. Ah, the real question either way is, what's to be done with the body? Zhang Chenghua informs these kids wisely. Tie him up and leave him somewhere? If he's found, someone will immediately slam their face against the alarm to let everyone know there's someone running around knocking people out. Bing He glances towards the space-tearing spear that Mo Beijun is hiding. What if we knocked him out and then dropped him off somewhere? Somewhere several days' worth of travel away. We'll be gone by then, Uncle, won't we? Hopefully, Zhang Chenghua agrees, considering this idea. Mo Beijun's ability to warp space and step through the shadows have grown immensely in strength and or skill since Zhang Chenghua has known him. And now he has this eternal abyss-opening weapon that he took back from his shitty father. It could work at least a few times. That seems pretty doable. I think we have to get him to turn around first, Xun Yuan whispers. Isn't this the part where the main character throws a rock or something behind him? I don't think that would work, Bing He says, bemused. Xun Yuan's shoulders rise slightly, and he mutters, I said or something. Mo Beijun tilts his head, then raises the hand not holding the terrifying space-tearing spear. Before their eyes, the man's forearm just dissolves into shadow. As he reaches into the wall? Zhang Chenghua turns his head around the corner again, all the way across the wide hall, behind the master lantern keeper's back, but not close to him. A shadowy hand reaches out from the wall and plunges its incorporeal claws into one of the lanterns. The light inside goes out at once. Mo Beijun pulls his shadowy hand back. Master lantern keeper must catch sight of the shift in light out of the corner of his eye. He turns to look at the lantern, turning away from them, and turning away from the golden disc of the alarm, too. Zhang Chenghua can't hear the old man curse, but he can see it in the sigh that goes through his body. Clearly he thought that he just fixed that one. Today is just one of those days. Mo Beijun moves past them. How he moves is beyond even Zhang Chenghua's ability to fully describe. Mo Beijun steps forward and snaps forward and glides forward, as quick and untouchable as a bird's shadow over the ground, reforming in the blink of an eye behind the distracted master lantern keeper. The space-tearing spear is already swinging as Mo Beijun reforms. It cuts beneath its victim's feet, and the old man falls through a black portal that seems to open and close in the same silent second. Just like that, the Huanhua Palace sect cultivator is gone, like he never existed. Hopefully, though, he's just found himself dumped out of thin air in the middle of fucking nowhere with pretty much no idea what just happened. Mo Beijun falls and twists back into shadow, and then he's standing next to them again. He spins the space-tearing spear back into a casual grip, then holds the tip away from them, as the demonic energy bleeding through the cracks that Tian Langjun made settles again. Mo Beijun raises his eyebrows at them again. Holy shit, that was so smooth, Zhang Chenghua says. That just makes this OP demon lord look even more smug. What a show-off. But Shang Qinghua can't say that Mo Beijun is wrong to look that way at all. Shang Qinghua didn't... He didn't even really know that Mo Beijun could do that. Well, he did know that Mo Beijun could do things like that, and in fact spent many years living in terror under the information that, according to Proud Immortal Demon Wei, at some point in the future Mo Beijun would be able to reach into a man's chest and pull out his still-beating heart without leaving a hole in his skin at the protagonist's command. Not that knowing whether or not Mo Beijun had developed this skill yet would have really done much for Shang Qinghua's chances of survival in general, but that knowledge was hard to ignore, among many other gruesome feats of strength, skill, and stealth. And yet... holy fucking shit! Seeing it is different. It's so very different. It's kind of very terrifying. And also, Shang Qinghua kind of wants to grab this insufferably smug demon lord by the front of his robes and start making out against a wall right now. Yeah, he really wouldn't mind having those incredibly deadly hands on his body, because that was so fucking smooth. Except his nephew and fellow transmigrator are here. Bingha's eyes are so wide that they kind of look like they might pop out of his head. Xin Yuan's mouth is actually hanging open right now, rendered totally speechless for once. The tiny part of Shang Qinghua's brain that is not overcome with thrilled lust finds these shocked faces very funny. So that's a no on finding their own dark little corner right now. Even though Mo Beijun's eyes are glowing like he knows exactly what Shang Qinghua is thinking, it's a no on stealth mission makeouts. Which is a good thing. Totally. They need to focus on the mission. But it's so unfair. How many opportunities does a person get to really have stealth mission makeouts in an enemy's forbidden dungeon? It's not like it's something that happens often. Ah. Shang Qinghua hastily clears his throat. That works, my king. That works. Protagonist's cooler than cool right-hand man, huh? He thinks dazedly. Hopefully, as far as any passerby will assume, if they happen to wander through this area of the Forbidden Dungeons, the missing Master Lantern Keeper just went to go relieve himself. No need to press any alarms. He'll be back soon for sure. With the first obstacle so neatly and sexily removed from their path, Shang Qinghua presses onwards into the deep. They appear to have slipped into an endless maze of endless hallways of storage rooms, which do have numbers but don't have labels. Shang Qinghua breaks into one of them out of burning curiosity. If he doesn't look, it's going to drive him nuts eventually. This is necessary for his mission focus. Cracking open one of the doors reveals a room full of assorted ceramics. Huh. This is a letdown and a relief, Shang Qinghua mutters, before he double-takes to spot a poorly drawn death curse scratched into the underside of a fancy teacup. Ah. Evidence? Xin Yuan suggests. Prisoner belongings? Probably. It could be debt collection, Bingha suggests, peering at an outrageous gold bowl marked with the sigils of someone who probably thinks of themselves as very important. Or debt collateral? Also possible.
The spoils of war, Mo Beijun sums up, unimpressed.
Not fit for day-to-day use, but maybe still worth something. Shang Qinghua agrees. The really important stuff will be in real vaults, and all the gaudy trophies will be upstairs where someone can see it. These are probably the items stuck in that sticky place between importance and irrelevance. Or, maybe this is the stuff they didn't want to be stored and recorded with everything else. The halls go by in a blur of identical lights and identical doors. The cold floor begins to slope downwards. They pass a few more of the alarms, those golden discs set into stone frames, but no more master lantern keepers, or whoever comes down here to sweep the floors, or anyone. Ah, this really is the sort of situation that could trick a person into thinking they're alone in all the world, isn't it? When they come to a fork in the path, Bingha looks toward the undiscovered depths of storage with a frustrated grip on his sword. They're in a creepy dungeon and there's nothing to stab. There's not even anyone to not stab. Uncle, this could go on forever, he complains. The other way has people, Shen Yuan reveals. Lots of them. The other transmigrator still looks like he's trying to finally activate the stubborn weeper's eye through sheer force of will. Knowing that there's people ahead or within a certain distance of them is a super useful tool, but they can't really use the weeper's eye to look for anything when they don't really know what they're looking for. It could be the people they need, or it could be random scraps of paper somewhere. The weeper's eye also doesn't really stretch that far. It would be nice if it stretched further. That's worrisome. But I think we need to go toward the people, Shang Qinghua decides, miserably. They can always backtrack, after all. And he has this gut feeling that his shitty no-good system has probably set up this mission to give them more trouble here than just one maintenance guy. If we're looking for a prison, we're looking for people, Bingha agrees. We are looking for trouble. The way towards the other people moving around down here in the dark is blocked by a door. A locked door with seals that look like they could actually be a problem in that they might throw a fit if Mo Beijun tries to just cut through. But conveniently, for once, this door proves no match for the key that Yu Qiaonan's gardener husband swiped and gifted them through Peng Hung Peng. Mo Beijun's sense of direction puts them on the northeast side now of the blank space of the map, a little closer to the center. Shang Qinghua nearly crows to realize that they've just stumbled across some underground gardens. He was right about the logistics of these forbidden dungeons. If there is a key, somewhere there must be a door, Shen Yuan mutters. Likewise, Shang Qinghua quickly realizes, gardens must have gardeners. Without gardeners, the plants are just wild. More lights are on in these hallways than not, and he can hear distant footsteps and indistinct conversation. Shit. Crossing this area without Mo Beijun would probably be impossible. But Mo Beijun just cuts into the wall with a space-tearing spear, opening a portal that takes them to the other side of the first hallway in a single step. Unfortunately, there's a gardener coming down the next hallway, so they have to backtrack immediately into the first room directly behind them, which is one of these special gardens. And there's a Huanhua Palace sect cultivator in here. Fortunately, the cultivator has their back turned to the doorway. They start to turn around, but Mo Beijun steps forward and cuts another portal underneath their feet. The Huanhua Palace sect cultivator only has time to gasp before the portal closes again over their head. A new friend for Master Lantern Keeper, Shang Qinghua supposes. They press their backs to the wall so the gardener coming down the hall can pass, but their luck is shit. The new Huanhua Palace sect cultivator walks into this room, stopping a few steps in when they see that their partner has vanished. Gone to get a cup of tea, maybe? The new gardener turns to look around and Mo Beijun lunges forward, his hand wrapping around their face, already reaching out with a spear to cut another portal behind them and shove them through it. Their surprise is mostly muffled by Mo Beijun's hand, but their boots still make a heart-stopping scuffling sound before they're swallowed by the portal. As far as Shang Qinghua's panic is concerned, all of Huanhua Palace sect could have heard that noise and they are doomed. Shang Qinghua grabs Mo Beijun's hand to pull him back. But no one comes. Maybe it just sounded like someone tripping over their own feet. The garden here is interesting, full of thick, leafy green plants, with glowing stones set into high ceilings of unfinished rock. The plants themselves have a misty glow to them, too, which is creepy as fuck. Zhang Qinghua couldn't for the life of him name the plant, but he assumes it's something super poisonous or the kind of plot device that sends a person into a year-long coma for the protagonist to cure. "Nobody touch the fucking plants," Zhang Qinghua whispers. "No one was going to touch the fucking plants, uncle," Bingho whispers back. Xun Yuan, looking similarly venomous at being treated like a toddler, nods in agreement before going back to staring through a wall. Mo Bei Jun squeezes Zhang Qinghua's hand before he dissolves into shadow and slips back out the door. Zhang Qinghua tries to pull his king back. There's another set of footsteps coming down the hallway. Can't Mo Bei Jun hear it? Ah, then the footsteps cut off suddenly, and Mo Bei Jun reforms a couple seconds later with a satisfied twist to his lips again. Yeah, the man heard it just fine. The rest of the trek through the secret gardens continues the same way. There's a bit of backtracking because they really don't fucking know where they're going here. Going in loops around these underground ponds of water flowers or rows of twisting pale saplings that may have never seen sunlight. They dodge the gardeners when they can, and when they can't, no problem. No problem at all. Mo Bei Jun is more than happy to become one with the shadows and step out behind these unaware cultivators. Or to reach across a room and kill another lantern, shrouding the room in darkness, so that when the gardener walking in, clearly expecting the lights to come on automatically, gets tripped by a spear swinging into their ankles, they go right into the waiting portal. Or to cut a portal beneath himself so he can reach down from the hallway ceiling and yank an unsuspecting Huanhua Palace sect cultivator up into the void. Mo Bei Jun's hand comes back through the portal, but the cultivator that he was holding up, that guy just disappeared somehow on the way through. No one else has the chance to lift a finger here. It's almost as if Mo Bei Jun has something to prove here with these stealth takedowns. Also, Zhang Qinghua sees that vicious smirk as Mo Bei Jun catches two Huanhua Palace sect cultivators, apparently just passing through by grabbing the ankle of the one at the back and pulling them down into a portal, then suddenly appearing behind the turning first one and shoving them through the same portal. This demon lord is enjoying this. It's crystal clear here that while Mo Bei Jun's shitty father was doing his best to mimic his son's unique abilities with his stolen weapon, he was kind of making things work through brute force. As an experienced warrior with the might of his ancestors behind him, the Northern Demon King did a pretty good job, which was really, really bad. Fuck that guy. But this is a weapon that was crafted for one Mo Bei Jun specifically, the Mo Bei Jun who grew up with these powers and actually knows how to use them. It's like the difference between a blunt knife, not so much cutting as squishing its way through, and a knife so sharp that you could cut your eyes on it. It's like the difference between day and night. It's so fucking smooth. Zhang Qinghua is so mad about this bullshit that he reaches up to pinch Mo Bei Jun's cheek, tugging on his stupidly smug, unbearably handsome face, and hissing, "Stop being a show-off!" Mo Bei Jun just huffs, lips turning up at the edges. Oh, he's gonna be uncooperative, huh? They've established that this is a really bad time for makeouts. On top of everything else, Zhang Qinghua is too stressed out for anything sexy right now. So the least this ideal man could do is make things a little easier on this pitiful, injured man. Mo Bei Jun doesn't have to make up for what happened at the Immortal Alliance conference this hard. Uncle? Zhang Qinghua hastily lets go of Mo Bei Jun's face and turns to see Bingha slowly following Xun Yuan down a side hallway, trying to keep everyone in sight, and coming close to failure. What now? Mo Bei Jun helpfully picks Zhang Qinghua up again and follows the troublesome other transmigrator in a few ground-eating strides. while Shang Ching-Hua puts up with being carried because that's just part of his life now. He's more concerned about how he can see the glow of the weeper's eye beneath Shen Yuan's robes and hear a familiar whispering, though the words are still just out of his reach. Shen Yuan doesn't go far, only down this next hallway and into a room at the end of it. Shang Ching-Hua notices that this part of the dungeons looks, a little older, worn around the edges with time. This room is more like a cave, with both the ceiling and the walls unfinished. And it's yet another garden, but not a large one. It's mostly just a raised platform in the center of the room, with one sprawling plant trapped inside a curtain of falling water. Ah, Shang Ching-Hua recognizes those long, dark, green, speckled vines, and those purplish buds with an ominous white glow. Yeah, this is getting more like the Weeper's Temple now. That's definitely the same kind of plant that spread through the entire abandoned temple, became sapient and powerful enough to form a separate humanoid body, and made the all-seeing being that became a weeping skeleton go mad enough to scratch shit into the walls. Shen Yuan pulls the Weeper's eye out of his robes, and the thing is practically buzzing in his hand. Shen Yuan has his other hand clutching at his temple, while Bing He hovers at his shoulder, looking helplessly towards Shang Ching-Hua for some direction here. Any direction at all. Shang Ching-Hua has no idea what to do here. Why should he know what to do? Bing He apparently makes his own decision. Shang Ching-Hua can see the consideration shift into determination on his nephew's face, and figures that the best thing to do is take the Weeper's Eye out of Shen Yuan's hand. Shen Yuan reflexively resists Bing He reaching out to take it. Bing He's hand ends up wrapped around Shen Yuan's hand, around the Weeper's Eye, trying to loosen the death grip of Shen Yuan's fingers. There's a brief tugging match, both Luo Bing He and Shen Yuan scowling at each other. And then the Weeper's Eye flares, lighting up the room in gold, as bright and sudden as a bolt of lightning. Shang Ching-Hua throws an arm up to shield his eyes. There's a sound like a long exhale. When the spot's clear from Shang Ching-Hua's vision, the Weeper's Eye, still trapped inside Shen Yuan and Luo Bingha's hands, is glowing brighter than before. Curiously, Bing He withdraws his fingers so Shen Yuan can open his hand to show them the artifact. The inside is gleaming like sunlight on rippling water. Both of them jump in surprise when an inky black spot whirls out of the shining clouds to look at them, flicking back and forth between them like a pupil.
Item activated. The Weeper's Eye.
Shang Ching-Hua barely has time to glance at this helpful pop-up window from his fellow transmigrator's system before it closes again. One of these days, Shang Ching-Hua's shitty, no-good system really is going to strangle that other guy. The light settles a little, but the black spot keeps looking around the room. It soon lands on the plant in the middle of the room with speckled vines and purple buds, and it makes a horrible hissing and buzzing sound again. Shen Yuan looks torn between his own incredulous stubbornness and a really, really strong urge to hurl the Weeper's Eye as far away as he can throw it. He holds it as far away from himself as possible. Beside him, Bing He shifts uncertainly, and he looks towards Shang Ching-Hua for direction again. As though Shang Ching-Hua should have developed a plan of attack in the past 30 seconds. Nope, he still doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what activated means here. A familiar whisper rises from the Weeper's Eye, as though it's whispering in Shang Ching-Hua's ear again, even though he's not even close to touching it.
History is written by the murderers.
It hisses. Bing He stiffens, and Mo Bei Jun's hand flexes where it's resting on Shang Ching-Hua's back. Ah, clearly they can hear it too now. Shang Ching-Hua doesn't know if there's a way to be comforting about this. Like, yeah, it's really no big deal, bro. It's pretty much always that creepy. That's not how the saying goes, he murmurs.
What is a garden but a gift to future generations? This one is no different to a sword handed down from master to disciple. covered in the blood of their enemies.
The Weeper's Eye condemns. Xun Yuan turns to Shangqing Hua for help.
Oh, what does it matter what happened now?
The Weeper's Eye sighs.
It always matters. When has any death ever only had one victim? There will always be someone to dig up the truth again.
The Weeper's Eye goes dim again after that. Not totally dark, but back to a more reasonable glow. And that inky black spot has faded back into its depths. Xun Yuan clears his throat.
It's active.
I noticed. Shangqing Hua notices, and holds out his hand. For once, Xun Yuan surrenders the Weeper's Eye without hesitation. It's, warmer than Shangqing Hua remembers it being.
What activated it?
Shangqing Hua asks. But he's already looking at his nephew, and so is his fellow transmigrator. Shangqing Hua and Xun Yuan have been trying to crack this thing for years, though admittedly in their spare time. But this only happens when Bing He touches it. Also, isn't it just reasonable to assume it's something to do with the young protagonist?
I don't know what happened, Uncle.
Mo Bei Jun reaches over, wisps of black demonic energy curling from the tips of his fingers like steam, and touches the Weeper's Eye. The artifact immediately glows brighter where Mo Bei Jun touches it. The inky black spot swivels out of the depths to peer up at the ice demon, then fades away again.
Mo Bei Jun,
the Weeper's Eye whispers, like a fucking greeting. Shangqing Hua looks up at the man and says,
My king, what the fuck?
Demonic energy,
Mo Bei Jun explains, withdrawing his hand.
Like recognized like.
Oh,
Bing He says, looking at his own fingers. Shangqing Hua looks back at the Weeper's Eye.
Ah, so this special item just needed demonic energy to activate? That makes sense. That weeping skeleton he took it from had three fucking eyes. So, yeah, demon seems more likely than human. Demonic energy for a demonic artifact.
In hindsight, that's kind of obvious, Shangqing Hua says, disgruntled.
Fuck.
He can see his own annoyance echoing on Xun Yuan's face. Shangqing Hua isn't as practiced at using the Weeper's Eye as Xun Yuan, and he doesn't practice spiritual sensing as frequently as his visually impaired fellow transmigrator does either. But he's far from totally useless at both. This time, the gaze of the Weeper's Eye stretches out at least 10 times as far as Shangqing Hua has ever managed before. Lights of spiritual energy flare up in the dark like a city at night. Shangqing Hua could count every single lantern in the radius if he wanted. He can see long and twisting shapes of the hallways through those lines of trapped bulbous flowers hanging on the walls. The few cultivators in this area of the Forbidden Dungeons are like shining beacons among the lesser glow of thousands of plants down here in these secret underground gardens. The life of the sect above them is almost blinding. Shangqing Hua exhales and shakes his head to clear his eyes before handing the Weeper's Eye back to his fellow transmigrator.
Ah, it's definitely active now. That's useful. That's very useful, but, why did you come this way?
I was thinking about the temple where the eye came from, Xun Yuan admits, but then he looks over his shoulder at the speckled vines and adds, and then the eye started reacting badly to that. Should we just leave it here, or...
Lighting it on fire is still a bad idea,
Shangqing Hua says jokingly.
Xun Yuan rolls his eyes.
Shangqing Hua looks over his shoulder again.
My king?
Mo Bei Jun raises a hand, then slowly closes his fist. The curtain of water containing the plant that killed the Weeper turns inward, then freezes over in a way that tears the plant apart. The ice crackles and groans loudly, but Shangqing Hua knows for sure now that there's no one in the immediate area.
Mobijun then points the space-tearing spear at it, and a black portal opens to swallow the shredded pile of ice. The portal closes, and it's gone. No more creepy, madness-causing assassin vine. In Shen Yuan's hand, the Weeper's eye glows bright again.
Lost forever in an abyss, just like the murderer who grew it.
It whispers. Shang Qinghua is going to take that as approval. Wandering back through the secret gardens with the new and improved Weeper's Eye in hand isn't an immediate speed run. Shen Yuan seems to need a second to get the hang of the rush of this extra sense being dialed up. In the meantime, Shen Yuan kind of waves the Weeper's Eye over the plants they pass just to see if it says anything interesting. It's mostly a mix between creepy facts.
4 different men and women have died young, caring tenderly for this poisonous plant.
And really creepy facts.
This fruit grows best on human blood.
Yep, super interesting. Shang Qinghua gives that writhing plant a wide berth. I still need something to focus on, Shen Yuan insists. Am I just supposed to pick something at random here? We really will be down here forever. No, we won't. And don't pick something at random. I'm thinking. Shang Qinghua found Luo Fan Li in the House of Rejuvenation, using some of her hair. Mo Bei Jun found Luo Binghe in the Eternal Abyss, using a tooth. What do they have?
This is the plant that poisoned Su Xian.
Shang Qinghua stops so suddenly, he forgets for a second that one of his legs is in a bad state and nearly tumbles to the floor. Good thing that Mo Bei Jun is here to catch him by the back of his robes. Ah, what a hero. The plants beside them now appear to be some kind of orchid. These are pale and fragile-looking things. Like the slightest touch could snap each plant to pieces.
It took every breath and body, but it never touched her child.
Bingha's face here is, also pale and fragile. When the young protagonist takes a step closer to these flowers, however, the flowers bend away and start to wither. It's a total reverse of how other plants turn toward the sun. These plants are trying to crawl away from Luo Bingha, who is, radiating warm demonic energy again, one of his fists clenched at his side. And Shang Qinghua can even see the faint rise of golden lines beneath his nephew's skin. Shen Yuan reaches out and puts a hand on Bingha's shoulder, squeezing gently before letting go again. Sorry, Shen Yuan says. I don't know how to look for Su Xian. Bingha's shoulders slump, the demonic energy dissipates, and the golden lines fade. Pretty much all these deadly orchids in this room are dead now, and the others look like they're dying. The ones closest to Bingha are completely black. It's not your fault, Bingha says. Shang Qinghua hops forward to wrap an arm around his nephew. Bingha leans into it, while Shen Yuan fiddles awkwardly with the Weeper's Eye again. Behind them, Mo Bei Jun lifts his head, then vanishes again, off to give yet another poor Huanhua Palace Sect cultivator, the surprise vacation of a lifetime, probably. Very, very quietly, so quietly that probably even Shen Yuan can't hear it, Bingha says, Uncle, I want to go home. I want to see this through, but after this? I know, Shang Qinghua assures him. I know. Is this what the House of Rejuvenation was like? Bingha asks. It's very similar. How much do you remember from that? Not much, but I was strongly reminded of it just now for some reason. Ah, well, there's not much worth remembering. Shen Yuan tries to prompt the awakened Weeper's Eye for instructions, but it's about as helpful as a transmigration system.
All can be seen, but so often only what one knows to look for is found.
The Weeper's Eye tells them.
System bro, how the fuck are we supposed to complete this mission? Xiang Qinghua thinks. My shitty leg already hurts, you know. No one is enjoying this. Be more like Cucumber Bro's system for once. Give us a hint. A pop-up window appears out of the corner of Xiang Qinghua's eye. The Lines That Cannot Be Crossed. Part 2. The Buried Truth. Mission Objective. Investigate the dungeons of Huanhua Palace.
Fuck you, that's even more unhelpful, Xiang Qinghua thinks. You're just repeating the mission.
And then he thinks,
wait.
Hey, bro, look for yourself, Xiang Qinghua says to his fellow transmigrator.
What?
We have two different things from Huanhua Palasek to investigate here, right? We don't know if Su Xian's body is even here, much less how to find it. You know what your own spiritual energy feels like, right? Look for that.
Xin Yuan squints at him, but then his gaze turns distant, and then his head turns away. Xiang Qinghua and his nephew watch as Xin Yuan, without moving, clearly follows something through the underground maze. He's not looking randomly here. There is zero hesitation as he zeroes in a light in the dark. They watch Xin Yuan stiffen, coming to a stop in front of something they can't sense. Mo Beijun comes back, stepping out of the shadows at Xiang Qinghua's shoulder, just in time to hear the other transmigrator say,
I've found something.
What? Bing He asks. Xin Yuan turns around and his expression is grim.
I think it's a body.
No one here is surprised to hear that, not even a little.
Ah, there it is, Xiang Qinghua sighs.
The way forward is clear,
Mo Beijun tells them all.
Come.
The way through the forbidden dungeons is much faster now that they finally have a direction. Xin Yuan is laser-focused on what he's found. Xiang Qinghua gives in and lets Mo Beijun carry him again, now that they're moving so quickly, practically running through the darkness, and instead puts his energy towards wondering why this mysterious body feels like his fellow transmigrator.
Holy shit, I hope it's not clones, he thinks. I can't handle more than one peerless cucumber.
Xiang Qinghua thought they would be heading more towards the center of the forbidden dungeons, towards the prisons, and they are, but they apparently go more towards the southeast. The underground gardens are left far behind them in favor of long, unfinished tunnels and empty caves, and then long hallways with many doors again. It looks like another storage area, similar to the one where they first entered, Xiang Qinghua thinks at first, but the rooms here are much smaller. It's really cold down here. The air feels weirdly heavy.
And then Xin Yuan stops beside a door and says,
there's a body behind this door.
He doesn't make any move towards the door, though.
Is the door locked or trapped? Bing He asks. No, Xin Yuan says, frowning. No, it's not the right body. It's just...
What?
Xin Yuan swallows. There are lots of bodies ahead. I didn't really notice them all before, but now that we're close, it's a lot. Some of them are wrong?
That doesn't sound good, Xiang Qinghua says.
Wrong how? Bing He asks. I don't know, just wrong,
Xin Yuan says unhelpfully.
Bad. There are lots of people ahead, too, but they also feel wrong. They're not between us and the body that feels like me, at least.
Keep looking on the bright side, Xiang Qinghua suggests. They check this first non-empty room, because now Xiang Qinghua is curious, and he wants to know what kind of shit show he's going to be carried into here. Forewarned is forearmed and all that bullshit.
Yep, there is a body. Just like Xin Yuan said, there's nothing obviously wrong with it. Not that any of them get too close, though. Peering inside, it just looks like a dead body lying on a stone floor,
partially covered in a white cloth with some preservative talismans planted around it. The dead body belongs to a demon, however, which is interesting. Mo Beijun identifies the demon mark as belonging to that of a lesser demon clan in the Eastern Kingdoms, nearer to the human realm, but says that they're not really remarkable or important at all.
He didn't even see the thing that hit him,
the Weeper's Eye tells them.
A death of opportunity.
They keep going. Ah, is this some kind of morgue? Shang Chenghua wonders. He supposes that the Huanhua Palace sect needs to do something with the bodies of the people who go down into their prisons and don't come up again. But why keep them?
So many lights have gone out here,
the Weeper's Eye says. Shen Yuan pauses at another door again, and cracking it open reveals that it was probably the size of the body that stopped him. It's a human child. Shang Chenghua closes the door quickly and pushes everyone onwards when Shen Yuan lingers next to another door, murmuring, a demon child this time. It smells like chemicals down here. It's like knives up the fucking nose. Fuck knows what these floors have gone through.
More and more lights have to be brought down into the dark.
Finally, finally, they stop in front of the right door. Cracking it open reveals yet another body. Not a child, at least. Holy shit, what an upside. This body belongs to a human woman, but it's immediately obvious that it's not Su Xian, because this woman looks 50-ish and nothing like Shang Chenghua's nephew. Shang Chenghua doesn't recognize her. You're sure this is the right one? Shang Chenghua asks. Yes, Shen Yuan says, but he sounds uncertain. She feels like me.
Harvested, then planted in cases to shine, or to wither and rot.
Shang Chenghua swallows, though he knows no one here would be too harsh on him if he threw up on this shitty, no-good mission of theirs. But if he throws up, then it looks like his fellow transmigrator is going to throw up, and that will probably make Shang Chenghua throw up again. They have other things to do here. Mo Beijun helps Shang Chenghua get to the floor, careful not to disturb the preservation talismans. He pulls away the cloth covering the body from the shoulders down. This reveals some faint scars along the chest and arms. Not scars of battle, though. These are painfully neat, surgically neat cuts. One look at Shen Yuan's face tells Shang Chenghua that they match. Ah, well, it looks like we found where your golden core came from, Shang Chenghua says. That is what I'm guessing happened here. Mu Qingfeng will be fucking horrified to hear that he was right. Shen Yuan and Bing He look pretty horrified now.
The first one to live afterwards,
the Weeper's Eye whispers in a totally unaffected tone of voice.
The only one to get away afterwards.
Shang Chenghua replaces the cloth over the body.
Is this proof enough? Bing He asks hoarsely. Not for Tianlongjun, but for the sects? This has to be proof that Huanhua Palace sect's word is worth nothing, that their word is worth less than nothing.
Maybe, Shang Chenghua says. But it's kind of like the House of Rejuvenation, isn't it? They don't have any proof that this procedure wasn't consensual. Sure, every part of Shang Chenghua's mind is screaming that this has to be illegal. This feels like it should be super illegal. But the laws in this world can be kind of bendy sometimes, like they were in the last world he lived in. And Shang Chenghua can't immediately think of any laws explicitly forbidding this kind of thing if it was agreed on and sanctioned by a sect leader. People might just say that whatever horrifying experiments happen between two people privately is their own business. Also, they don't have proof that it was Huanhua Palace sect that performed this procedure yet. With what they have now,
Huanhua Palace sect could turn around and say Xin Yuan was the one who did this, and that's why they called him a criminal. Yeah, it's all that Xin Yuan's fault. This is so fucked up, Shang Chenghua mutters. Mo Bei Jun helps him off the floor again. Ah, really? What would Shang Chenghua do without this guy?
Throw up, probably.
Xin Yuan still looks like he might throw up. He wobbles like he wants to collapse onto the floor, but refuses to collapse on a floor like this. The Weeper's eye has dimmed again in his grip as he stares and stares and stares at the body. Bing-He looks like he's barely managing not to punch a wall. Instead, Shang Qinghua's nephew forces himself to turn around and walk out of the room. Shang Qinghua is so glad that Mo Beijun is holding him up right now.
Uncle?
Bing-He's voice, instead of sounding angry, is alarmed. Mo Beijun whisks them into the hallway. At the other end of the hallway of doors and lanterns is a pair of Huanhua Palace sect cultivators, looking directly at them, because apparently Xin Yuan was too distracted to keep playing lookout. Ah, well, actually, only one of them is a clearly generic youngish Huanhua Palace sect cultivator. The other one is a 40-something man who doesn't really look like a cultivator at all, wearing neat but plain clothing and an apron stained at the corner with blood.
Character profile updated. Dr. Xu Jun.
Oh, fuck, Shang Qinghua says. The Huanhua Palace sect cultivator lunges for the alarm set into the wall only a little ways ahead of them, but Mo Beijun has already drawn his arm back and throws an arrow of ice. The ice arrow strikes the cultivator's chest. The cultivator collapses forward, only a few steps from the alarm. Dr. Xu turns and runs.